Today's Shi'ez Masecht Gittin Daf Pei Dalad. We will begin on Daf Pei Dalad Amud Aleph on the second line. Tana Rabbon. Hareza Gitech, a husband gives a wife a get with the following stipulation. He says, Amnasha Tis Nosi L'Ploini. You have to marry, in order for this get to be effective, you have to marry this individual. Says the Bryce, Hareza Tis Nosi, she should not marry him. But if she does marry him, she doesn't have to leave him. Ask the Gemara, my comer, exactly what is the Braisa teaching us? Amar Rav Nachman, says Rav Nachman, this is the way to understand the Braisa. Hach comer. Hareza lo tolan siloi. She shouldn't marry the man. That means if a husband gives a wife a get with the condition that you have to marry a specific individual, she should not marry that individual, even though it means that the get won't be valid. Why? Shelo yoimru Nisheim Noisna Matana. People shouldn't say that husbands are able to give their wives away as a gift. He could make a stipulation, you have to marry this man. In fact, Drama says, interesting halacha, Drama says that if there was a man who, there's a couple who's married, and there's a different man who is supporting the wife, that means the husband isn't supporting the wife, the man is constantly taking care of the wife, it's inappropriate that if that couple gets married, gets divorced, that woman should marry the man who was supporting her while she was married. Again, for the same concern. That they had a deal, I'll divorce my wife because you took care of her all these years and now you can marry her. Interesting, machloikis or achroinim, pnei yeshua chsam seifer, to discuss the following case. What will be the din when the husband wrote the get, he says, you're not allowed to marry anyone, and if you do, the only man you may marry is that man. So in other words, it's not what Al Gemara is saying. Al Gemara is saying that the husband says you must marry that man for the get to be valid. In the case that they're discussing, he's saying you don't have to marry anyone. If you get married, you have to marry that person. Is that included in the case of the Gemara or not? Pnei Yeshua says it is. Chsam Sofer says it isn't. Continues Rav Nachman in explaining the Braisa. Then this is like Acher, but if she does marry someone else, lo teitzei. Ask the Gemara. Umishum gzeira lemafkinim enei v'shirena ish la'alma. Let's understand what's happening here, asks Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman understood the Braisa to say the following. That if the husband made a stipulation, she must marry Reuven. And instead of marrying Reuven, she marries Shimon. So Rav Nachman is suggesting she could stay married to Shimon. Ask the Gemara. The only reason we tell her not to marry Reuven is because of the Gezeira that the Gemara just taught us. Shelo yomru nishasem matana. Really, it's a very fine stipulation. So she shouldn't marry Shimon. So we're going to allow her to marry Shimon and remain with him? Elam Rav Nachman hachakama. Hareza loy tenosiloy. She should not marry the man, the husband stipulated. Because we have this concern. Femnisis, loy, but if she did marry him, which we said she shouldn't have, loy taitsei. We don't make them get divorced. The mishum gzeira, loy mafkinin. Even though it's a gzeira she shouldn't marry him, but it's not strong enough of a reason that they have to get divorced. So Taisus explains the havamin of the maskana of the Gemara of Rav Nachman very beautifully. In the Havamin of the Gemara had Rav Nachman holding that she's allowed to marry a different man. The Maskana, she's not allowed to marry a different man. She shouldn't marry the man the husband stipulated, but if she did, she could stay with him. What's the Havamin of the Maskana? Says Tosfos. In the Havamin of the Gemara thought that because we have this concept that we've discussed all the way at the beginning of the Masechta of Afkinu Rabbanu L'Kedusha Minei, when somebody acts inappropriately, sometimes Chazal dissolved the marriage, annulled the marriage. So Rav Nachman and the Havamin thought that this is such a case, that if a husband gives his wife a get and says, very inappropriately, that's a get only if you marry that person, since he did the wrong thing by making such a stipulation, Rav Nachman and the Havamin assumed that Chazal's concept of Afkinu Rabbanu L'Kedusha Minei kicks in. And the marriage is dissolved on its own. She was never an Eishes Ish, and now she can marry anyone. The Gemara in the Maskana says, yes, it's inappropriate for a husband to give a get with that type of a stipulation. However, says Rav Nachman, says the Gemara. We don't just apply this concept of Kinnur Rabbanan L'Kedushin Minei all over. He didn't do something so grievous that we should apply that concept. And the Poskim use this very importantly, because what we've discussed previously, that in situations where it's difficult to get a get, should we be able to use the concept of Kinnur Rabbanan L'Kedushin Minei? And here we see how Chazal were careful in limiting the application of this concept to only very specific cases. Amalei Rava, Laihu Delaitanasei, she shouldn't marry the man that the husband stipulated she's supposed to. What's the diak? In the words of the Braisa, Halacha Tanasei. It seems that another man she should be allowed to marry. Ask the Gemara, how could she marry somebody else? The Baal Kiyumah Tanai. She has to fulfill the condition. Without the fulfillment of the condition, there is no get. The Chitema, says the Gemara, will suggest, Efsh the Mitzvah Hayoi, what the Gemara is saying is, marry, again, let's give names to help understand the Gemara. The husband stipulated that she must marry Reuven. So maybe what the Brice is saying is, she'll marry Shimon today. If she doesn't marry Reuven, the get is invalid. She'll marry Shimon today, divorce him, and then marry Reuven, and then it turns out that she didn't do anything wrong. Efsh the Mitzvah Hayoim, marry Shimon today, or Megrish HaLamach, and then divorce him, and then marry Reuven. Or Mekayim LaTanai. So Rav Chanan asks a question. How could the Gemara even give this as a suggestion? Why are we not concerned Shema Yomus? What's Rav saying? She can marry Shimon, and then divorce him, and then afterwards marry Reuven. But maybe by the time she gets around to marrying Reuven, Reuven is dead. And now she has a real problem on her hands. She was never divorced, and she married as an Eishes Ish, someone else. Rav Chanan's question. So I saw the Mefarshim answer Rav Chanan's question with learning the words of the Gemara. Let's look in the words of the Gemara, they say. The Gemara says, Efsh the mitzvah hayoim o migrash lemachar. So Mefarshim say, where does the halacha concern itself with Shema Yomus, that someone may die? That's on a regular situation, because unfortunately everybody's going to die. So the halacha is concerned, Shema Yomus. But the halacha is not concerned that someone who's alive today will die tomorrow. Baruch Hashem, tomorrow we should all still be here, gesund und stark. And that's what the Gemara is saying. Marry Shimon today. Are you worried that Reuven's going to die? Just divorce today and marry Reuven tomorrow, and you don't have to worry. There's no concern of Shema Yomus when you're dealing with such a short time frame. Says the Gemara, Olahach, the Pliga Leder of Yehuda Kamadamaslein. Because the Gemara is comparing this opinion, that we could always fulfill the condition later, to the opinion that disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Ditmar, we learned the Gemara Masecht Nedarim. If somebody made the following neder, Kainam Einei B'Shin Hayoyim, I won't sleep today, Em Ishan L'Mocher, if I'll sleep tomorrow. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Yehuda says, Al Yishan Hayoyim, don't sleep today, because we have to be concerned, Shem Ishan L'Mocher, you may sleep tomorrow, and it'll turn out that you retroactively violated your neder. Rav Nachman Amar Yishan Hayoyim, sleep today, tomorrow, Ve'chashin Shema Yishan L'Mocher, you'll fulfill the condition tomorrow. So the Gemara is saying, that's the same here. Marry Shimon today. You have an obligation. If you want your get to be a valid get, that you have to marry Reuven, you'll divorce Shimon and marry Reuven tomorrow. Says the Gemara, how could you compare the two cases? Hachi hashta, hasam b'nidei kaima. In the case of a person who makes a nether about sleep, he has the ability to control it. The boy, machriz nafshi b'selua, a person could prick himself with thorns, v'leinam, and he won't fall asleep. Hacha, but in this case, b'didar kaim l'grusha, it's not in her control, the get. The get is in the control of the husband, and therefore it's not something that she has the control over, and we can't compare the cases. So the Rishayim used this Gemara to discuss a very interesting shaila. What's going to be the din if a woman comes to Beis Din and says, Moss Alai, that I just can't live with this man. Does she have a right to say that and get a divorce, and force a divorce? So Rishayim want to prove from our Gemara that she can't. Because what's our Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying that divorce is never in her control. But if we're saying that a woman, a wife, could come to Beis Din and say Marsalai, and Beis Din will force the husband to give her a get, so why are we saying that divorce is not on her hands? It must be that if a woman comes to Beis Din with such a claim, she doesn't have any authority that Beis Din should have to force him to write a get. That's how some Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim, however, say that a woman does have the ability to tell Beis Din Marsalai, and then Beis Din will then force the husband to give a get. So if so, how do we understand our Gemara when the Gemara says that divorce is not in her control? Because even if Beis Din's going to tell him that he has to give a divorce, Beis Din doesn't have to give the divorce today. He could say, all right, I'll give her a get next week, in a couple of weeks, in a couple of months. But she has this issue that she needs to be able to live with Reuven, because if she doesn't live with Reuven, she's going to have a problem that her get was never a get. Even if she has the ability to force him to give her a get, she can't force him to do it immediately. Our Gemara here has also discussed the concept that a person could control himself from sleeping or not control himself from sleeping. So I saw two interesting shailas in the Paiskim. One, because the Gemara seems to suggest, certainly according to Rabbi Yehuda, that a person doesn't have control over not sleeping. Sometimes you just fall asleep. So the Paiskim discussed what would be the din if somebody's hired to be a night security guard and he falls asleep. And while he falls asleep, whatever he's supposed to be protecting is broken into. So he learned the Daf Yomi. He says, the Gemara says you can't control sleep. Is that a claim? So Paiskim can say, of course it's not a claim. Why not? Because if a person has a job that he knows that he has to be up at night as a security man, he should be sleeping by day, so he should be able to do his job. And if not, he can't say, what could I do? Although, I did see another interesting psak that Rav Rosner discusses in the Shevet HaLevi. Rachman Otslan, he says someone is driving a car and he falls asleep behind the wheel. He does damage to the car, he does damage to other passengers, get hurt. Did I have a claim? You fell asleep. So he makes a very interesting distinction. He says, if somebody falls asleep at the beginning of the drive, he's held responsible. Because if a person knew he's going to drive, he should have made sure to be well rested before he begins to drive. However, he says, let's say a person is already driving for a while. So even if you rested before you drive, human nature is that once you drive for quite a while, you get tired out, and sleeping beforehand won't be able to prevent that. Then the person has our Gemara. You can't control. The person falls asleep, he falls asleep. Says the Gemara. Ela Marava, Harezu Lotinosei. If a husband gives a wife a get with the condition that she should not marry, she only has to marry a specific individual, she should marry Reuven, l'chalocha, l'chatchila, she should not marry loy, loy, v'loy, la'achar. She shouldn't marry anybody. Loy, loy, t'nasei. The man he stipulated that she should marry, she should not marry, because we're concerned, shem yoyim, and shesayim, nois, matana. We're concerned that, the concern that we learned at the beginning of the year, that they trade wives. L'achloi t'nosei, and she shouldn't marry, she can't marry anyone else, because her get is not a get until b'ayil k'yum l'tanoi, until she fulfills the condition. Continues the b'raisa, v'm nisis loy, but if she did marry the man, if she did marry Reuven, loy taitse, we don't force them to separate. Because, the shum gzeir l'mefkinen, just because of gzeir, we don't force them to divorce. L'achr, but if she married someone else, taitse, she must divorce him. The Baal Kumla tonight, because she shouldn't marry, and she can't marry anyone until the condition is fulfilled. Tanya Kavasa the Rava, and the Braisa we have clearly corroborates Rava's Psak. Harezel Tanosei, she shouldn't marry Loy Loy, not the person the husband stipulated she should marry, Veloy Lacha nor anyone else. However, Vimnissus Loy, if she did marry that individual, Loy Taitsei, she doesn't have to divorce, because it's only Xera. La'achav, if she marries someone else, Taitse, she has to divorce him in order to be able to make the get work. So Rashba says, what will be the halacha in the following case? The husband said the get is only a get if you marry Reuven. She goes and she marries Shimon. She shouldn't have. She goes and she marries Shimon. They have children. They get divorced. And now she goes and marries Reuven. So it turns out, says the Rashba, she did the wrong thing. Absolutely. But the children are mamzerim. Because since she ultimately married Reuven, the get was a good get, and therefore there's no problem. That's the Rashba. Says the Rambam, no. That if she married Shimon and had children, those children turn out to be mamzerim, even if she ultimately marries Reuven. And all the Mefarshim try to understand the pshat of the Rambam. What's pshat in the Rambam? If she ultimately married Reuven, she fulfilled the stipulation, and once she fulfilled the stipulation, the get's a get. So the Avni Malum explains that the Rambam holds in the Maskon of the Gemara that not only does the Gemara hold that the stipulation was that you have to marry Reuven, but the stipulation was that you have to marry Reuven before you marry anyone else. And therefore, if she married anyone else, she has ultimately not fulfilled the condition properly. Tana Bonin says the Braisa. If somebody gives a get to his wife, Hareza Gitachem Nashatal Lurikia, in the condition that you go up to the sky. You go down to the depths. You'll swallow a pole that's 4 amas long. You'll carry a pole that's 100 amas long. You'll walk over the Yama Godl. In all these cases, ain't a get. It's not a get because she can't fulfill the condition. So Tysus asks Akasha. Ask Tysus. We have been learning, we're going to discuss this concept later in the shiur again, that all conditions are modeled after the Tanai B'nai Gad B'nai Reuven. Tanai B'nai Gad B'nai Reuven, asked Tysus, was something that was doable. So from there we should learn that the only condition, that's a valid condition, is a doable condition. Here these conditions are not doable. So why is the Gemara even having, why are Rabbanan saying that there is a good condition, and if she can't fulfill the condition, the get's a get only if she fulfills the condition. And you can't fulfill the condition, you have no get. So Tysus answers a very simple teretz. Tysus says, in every condition you have the maisa and you have the tnai. Where is there a halacha that it has to be doable? Not on the condition, on the maisa. The maisa has to be something that's doable. As it was with Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. They were able to go into Eretz Yisrael to hold battle. Here the maisa is doable. What's the maisa? Hareza gitech. That is doable. It's only the condition that's not doable. From Negor of Neruven we learned that the maisa has to be doable, not the condition. Then I saw a very interesting machlokes Rishonim. It's not relevant in our world, but in their world it was very, in the Rishonim's time it was relevant. What happens, the Rabbanan say, if somebody says to his wife, this is your get, amenashatala rikia, on the condition you go up to the sky, which in those times it was impossible to go up to the sky. What would be the halacha if she has a way of getting up to the sky? She knows something from Kabbalah, and she gets up to the sky. Will it be considered she fulfilled the condition or not? Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, yeah, she did it. And other Rishonim say, clearly, he meant to give the get that in a way that she could never fulfill the condition. So even if somehow she was able to fulfill the condition, the get doesn't remain a get. However, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda ima kizay get. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says it is a get. Why? Because klal omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema called tanai she efshal lekayim b'soifay, any condition which is impossible to fulfill v'hesn lamet chilasay, and the husband did make that stipulation ena elak mafliga b'dvarim. All he really meant was to tease her. He never really meant that this condition should be fulfilled. The kasha. So I saw a gevalda gevart from Chaskel Abramsky. Says of Chaskel Abramsky, what will be if the husband made a condition that he really thought was doable, and then it turns out that it's impossible to fulfill? He says, then even Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema will agree that the condition is a good condition. The only time, and that's what the Gemara is saying, he says, the only time a condition, he says, is a condition that we say is k'mafliga b'dvarim, that he's just trying to tease her, is where it's obvious to the husband who made the condition that he's only trying to tease her. But when it wasn't obvious to him that that was his intent, he thought she can't fulfill the condition, then she has to fulfill it. And if it's not possible, then the get's not a get. So I saw the Chavistas asks a very interesting question. Here our Gemara says that if you say a condition, at least according to Yehuda ben Tema's opinion, if you say a condition which is obviously patently impossible to fulfill, so you say that the whole condition is meaningless. So he discusses the following shaila. It's not his discussion. The Shulchan Aruch already discusses the shaila. What bit halacha if somebody lends money to someone else with interest, and the loiva agreed to pay the interest? Then the loiva realizes that I'm not pay interest. I'm a Jew. Interest is also. So he goes to the malva. He says, I'm not going to fulfill that condition. I'm not going to pay the interest. So the halacha is he has to give back the money. So the question that the Chavistas asks is, why does he have to give back the money? Since paying interest is halachically osur, it should be like mafliga b'dvarim. He just put in a condition which is impossible to fulfill. And Rehuda Bet Taiba says that whenever there's a condition which is impossible to fulfill, we don't follow the condition. So why here do we have to follow the condition? So he answers, there's a very big difference. He says, a get, somebody says, I raise a gitech. So the get is a get. Then he adds some sort of a stipulation. So Yehuda Batem is telling us that if a stipulation is patently impossible to fulfill, it's obviously meaningless. When someone lends money with interest, it isn't two separate things. There's the loan and the interest. The loan and the interest is all one. And now the loiver, doing the right thing, says, I'm not going to pay interest, so he can't separate the loan from the interest. And therefore, he has to give back the money, and we can't say that the interest stipulation is separate from the law. Amar of Nachman. Amar Rav, Halach Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. The Halach followed Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Amar of Nachman Yitzchak, Masnissin Namadeka. There's a Mishnah Masechta Bava Metzia that corroborates that opinion. The Tanan, the Ketani, Kol She'ef Shel Kaim V'Soifoi, any condition that could be fulfilled at the end, and the person makes a condition that he makes that kind of condition, Tanah Kayim. But if he can't fulfill that condition, the Tanah Bottle, Shmamina. Ask the Gemara, Ibarilu, Hareza Gitech, Am Nasha Toichli Bosa Chazir. Somebody says to his wife, I'm giving you the get when the condition that you have to eat chazer meat. Mahu. Amar baya hihi. It's the same situation. It's impossible to fulfill that condition. And therefore the get's, you don't have to fulfill the condition, but the get's still a get. A baya's opinion. Rav Amma. Efshadach v'lakya. She could eat. She'll get malchus, but it's a condition that's doable. Says the Gemara. Le'a baya. According to baya. Klal l'suyi bas chazir. When the Gemara spoke about, when Rehuda ben Tema said the words klal, he was coming to include the case of basa chazir as another example of a condition that doesn't have to be met. L'Rava, Rava on the other hand, says Rehuda used the word kazeh. What did he mean with the word kazeh? L'muti basa chazir. To exclude basa chazir. That is a condition that has to be fulfilled, or if she's not going to fulfill it, then the get's not, then she can't be considered that she's no longer an Ashishish. So Mefarshim asks, why is it impossible to fulfill the condition? Why doesn't she just go, take a little chazer meat, put it into a whole pot of kosher food, and it'll be bottle? And she'll have everything. So I saw three teruts. One teruts says that the halacha is eim avatlan eslechatchila. You're not allowed to take iser and mix it into mutter just so you should be allowed to eat it. So she can't take chazer meat and throw it into a pot of kosher food. One teretz. The difficulty with that teretz is that the whole list of Ein Mevatel Eslechatchila is only drabonon. Another teretz, very, very nice teretz. What does Bittel say? Bittel says that that item doesn't exist. So if you take some chazer, you take a drop of chazer, a little chazer, and you throw it into a big pot of kosher food, there is no chazer here. So she hasn't fulfilled the condition. And the third teretz is that it's obvious, and the Gemara's, this teretz is, even though it's not so, it's pretty simple, but the Gemara seems to be saying this teretz. His condition wasn't just that I want you to eat chazer. I want you to eat chazer, that's awesome. Why? Because the Gemara says that she has to have malchus. What's the shot that he gets malchus? Because I want you to do an aveira to get the get. So anything else will not have been considered, will have not fulfilled the condition. Meisvei asked the Gemara if somebody said to his wife, Hareza Gitech Amnash Tivoli Laplani. This is you get if you have relations with that person. Says the Brisa. The Skyma Tanai, if she fulfills the Tanai, I raise a get from Lav, but if not, any get. On the other hand, Amnas Shle Tivoli La'ovi La'vicha, I'm giving you a get with a stipulation that you should never have relations with your father, my father, and Chosh Shem and Nivalahen. We don't have to be worried that she will have relations with them. Vilu, Amnasha Tivoli La'abu La'vicha, the Brisa does not speak about a case where a husband says to a wife, the get is a get only if you will have relations with my father, your father, like Tani. The Brisa doesn't speak about that. Now we understand why. Because Labaya Nicha, according to Baya, it's very good. Because according to Baya, any condition that involves Isser, Baya says, is not a condition you have to fulfill. It becomes an impossible condition. So this is an impossible situation. What about the case of Tivoli L'Ploini? So Rishonim answer that Tivoli L'Ploini doesn't really involve an Isser. It's not something that you should do, but it doesn't involve a strong Isser. The Rav Akasha says the Gemara, Amalach Rav, Bishlam Basel Chazir, by Basel Chazir, Efshad Achle V'Lakya. Like we said before, according to Rav, eating Chazir is not considered impossible. You'll eat, then she'll get the Malkus. Ploini, as we just said a moment ago, living with a Ploini is not really an Isser. Therefore, Efshad Ashachta Mimamim, she always could find this person, if she'll pay him enough money, he'll agree to live with her, even though it's not something that's appropriate to do. Al Abba Avicha, B'day Kaima, is it in her power to create that this condition should be fulfilled? Nehdi Avdi Asura. She may be prepared to do it. Abba Avicha Mi Avdi Asura. Will his father or her father agree to live with her? So therefore it's impossible. And in fact, I saw the Mepharshim say that even if the Gemara said a moment ago, the Brisa said that if somebody gave a get to his wife on the condition that you can't have relations with your father, so the Gemara says we're not choshish that she will ever have conditions with relations with the father. And not only, so the Pais could say that we're not choshish that we can have relations with a father, we know usually a woman is allowed to have yichud with a father. So the question that the Pais can pose is this woman going to allow to have yichud with a father? Because here is a lot riding if chas v'shalom she has relations with her father. She turns out to remain an eshes ish. Say to Paiskim, included in what the Gemara says, that we're not choshit, that she's going to have relations with her father, included in that heter, that she can have the regular relation, she can have the regular setup with her father like any other woman, and she can even have yichud with her father. So now the Gemara re-examines the Bryce's words, Yehuda ben Tamar's words, according to Rav and Abaye's opinions that we just cited. L'Rava, klal asui abba avicha. The klal that Yehuda ben Tamar comes to say, that if you set on the condition that you're going to have relations with my father, your father, Rav agrees that that stipulation is set aside. Kazeh, but if you use the word kazeh, l'muti bas chazir, that condition is considered a condition that she has to fulfill if she wants to get to be valid. Labaya, klal lasuya bas chazir. Because according to Baya, even the condition that she has to eat chazir is a condition that she doesn't have to follow. And certainly, the condition of having relations with his father or her father, Abaya will certainly hold a condition that we don't have to pay attention to, and the get is a get without paying attention. Kazeh, lemuti ploini, that Abaya agrees is considered a condition that she has to fulfill, even though it's not that nice. And if she doesn't fulfill it, the get will not be a valid get. Meisvei, ask the Gemara. It says in a Braisa, Hareza Gitech, Amnasha Toichli Bas Chazir. Vimhoi Sezora, if she was a non-Kohenis, the condition was Amnasha Toichli B'Tshuma. Made a condition that you could only, the get will only be get if you eat Tshuma. Vimhoi Sezora, Amnash Shetish Deyayin. You have to drink wine. So Surah Bal Yashiv asks, why does the Gemara have to give three different examples? We're going to go through every Isser in the Torah. So Rabbi Yashiv answers. The reason the Brisa mentions Truma, because Truma, we know that a Zor that eats Truma is Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim. So maybe it should be in the same category of Abba V'Avicha. A Nazira, on the other hand, always has the opportunity to be shoyal on the Naziris, to have the Naziris annulled. That's why the Brisa uses them all to say they're all considered a regular Isser. Niskayim Hatnai. So what does the Brisa says? If she fulfills the Tanai, Hareza get, then the get is a good get. Vimlav, but if she doesn't fulfill the Tanai, ain't a get. So the Rava, it's very Nicha. Because Rava says that even if a stipulation involves being over an Isser, Rava says you have to fulfill the stipulation. And if you don't fulfill the stipulation, the get will not be a get. El Abaya, but according to Abaya, it's Kasha. Abaya said, we just finished learning the Gemara, Abaya tells us explicitly that if the husband made a stipulation, you have to eat Chazir. And she doesn't eat Chazir, it's going to be considered that still the get's a get, because it's considered a stipulation that she can't fulfill. She's not supposed to do something wrong. Amlach Abaya, says Abaya, Misavad Divri Hakalhi, who says this price represents everybody's opinion. Hamani, whose opinion does this represent? Rabbanon, it represents the opinion of the Rabbanon, that Rabbanon Amar Aleph argued with Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, and they hold that even if a condition was made, which is impossible to fulfill, the condition of going to the sky, the condition of going to the depths, they hold that that condition, if you can't fulfill the condition, then you don't have a get. And therefore, they'll have to say the same here, that certainly Abaya, who said that if the condition of Basa Chazir is not a condition that you have to follow, was only saying it according to Yudman Tema, he wasn't saying it according to Rabbanim. Ask the Gemara, but there's a different problem. The Tepele, the Master Masha Kosa B'Torahu. Why is this not considered that he made a condition against what it says in the Torah? And we know the Kala Masna Masha Kosa B'Torah Tanah Bottle, that if you make a condition of what it says in the Torah, your Tanai is nullified. And the Mefarshim discuss at great length why is Master Masha Kosba Torah Tanah Batel? Some Mefarshim want to say, because if somebody's Master Masha Kosba Torah, it's clearly Maflik B'Dvarim. He's just not serious. Because which serious person is going to tell you to do something which the Torah says you're not allowed to do? But that can't be pshat. Because in our Gemara, we see that this concept of Maflik B'Dvarim is Machloikis Tanah. It's Machloikis Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema and Rabbanan. Only Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema subscribes to the concept of Maflik B'Dvarim, not the Rabbanan. So therefore, other Mefarshim say, the wise Master Masha Kosba Torah Tanah Batel, a concept that we discussed earlier in this year, because we follow, all Tanoim have to follow the model of Tanai B'nai God B'nai Ruvein. That clearly wasn't going against what the Torah wanted. On the contrary, they were doing what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them. That's considered a Tanai. The Brisker Rav has a whole different pshat. The Brisker Rav says the Master Masha Kosa B'Torah is not a din in Hilchus Tanoim. It has nothing to do with Hilchus Tanoim. The Brisker Rav says Master Masha Kosa B'Torah is, in general, we don't have the ability to go against what the Torah tells us to do and against what the Torah tells us we have to do. We haven't got that authority, and the words that we use under those circumstances are meaningless. The Ramah says, and I think with the explanation of the Brisker Rav, the Ramah is a beautiful psak. The Ramah says that the Gemara is saying Masna Masha Kosa B'Torah Tanah Batel, it's not only if you Masna against a Din D'Oraisa, but even if you Masna against a Din D'Rabbanan. Because that is all included. We don't have the ability to go against what the Halacha tells us to do. So the question is, how could you consider this a valid Tanai? Amar of Adab Reid Ravika, Ki Aminin, Master Master Tosba Torah, Tanah Batel, Kigon Shera Ksusa Vainasa. In a case where a husband marries a woman, and we know, we're going to learn Masechta Kedushin soon, Amitz Hashem, that every husband is obligated to give his wife Shera Ksusa Vainasa, Shera, he has to give her where to live, Ksusa, eat, Ksusa means he has to give her clothing, Vainasa means he has to have relations with her. And let's say a husband marries a wife and says, I'm marrying you with the stipulation that I don't have to give you Sherek Sus Venosa. It's not valid. The Ka'akr, that stipulation is meaningless because he's violating what the Torah said. Aval Hocha, he Ka'akra. You don't have to get divorced. Don't fulfill the stipulation and remain in Eish HaSish. So as the Mefarshim succinctly say it, when somebody marries a woman and he says, I'm going to marry you without giving you sherek susa v'nosa, he's master mashikos b'toira. He's going against what the Torah says. On the other hand, when somebody gives his wife a get, and he says, I'm giving you a get with the condition you eat chazer, he's making condition with his wife. He's not making condition with the Torah. She doesn't have to fulfill that condition. You don't have to get a get. And therefore, it's considered that it's not considered master mashikos b'toira. Similarly, I saw the Rabbi Yoshev says, let's say somebody makes a condition with his wife, I'm giving you a get, when any of the conditions we learned, we're going to learn, about all sorts of tanoim in a get, why is that not considered master mashikos b'toira? Because the Torah speaks about a get without conditions, and here he's making a get with conditions. So he answers very simply. He says the Torah, the get is a get. The condition has nothing to do with the get. It's separate from the get. She doesn't have to fulfill the condition and won't get a get. So therefore, it's not considered master mashikos b'toira. Ask the Gemara, who are we fooling? Mask la ravina, klum ka'akr ihi. In this case, why is she eating chazir? Elo kiyuma tonight today. She doesn't want to eat chazir. She's only eating the chazir because he told her, if you don't eat the chazir, you don't have a get. Ishtakach tihi ka'akr. So isn't he that's causing, not her? Elo ravina. Kimi mas mashikos b'toira tonight bottle. Ki gan shirik sus v'nosa. The vada ka'akr. It has to happen. She doesn't have to eat. So we learned in the Mishnah that let's say the get was written improperly. What should be done? You tell her a minute, take it and give it back. Man Tana, who is the Tana that says that you could do this? That you have to do this? Am Chizkiya of Shimon Elazar. This is the Tana of Shimon Elazar. We learned the opinion of Shimon Elazar in Daf Ein Ches. The Tana of Shimon Elazar Omer. We learned the Machlokes. Rebbe and Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Rebbe said that if somebody gives his wife a document, it's a get. But when he gave it to her, he said, Hareza shtar choyf, it's a shtar choyf. So he did the wrong thing. So Rebbe said, you don't have to give the get again. She just has to be notified that this is a get. Rav Shimon ben Elazar said, that's not enough. You have to actually give it to her again. Our Mishnah seems to be corroborating Rav Shimon ben Elazar's opinion. It's not just good enough that you should correct the get, you have to give it again. So says the Gemara again, Man Tana, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? It seems to be Omer Chizkiya, that it seems to be Rav Shimon Elazar he, the Tana of Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Ach Yitlena Mena, V'yach V'yitlena Lo, V'yayim Alay Gitech. It's not just good enough to say it, you have to give the get again. Says Rav Yochanan, Afil Tem Rebbe, the Choyn Omer, the Choyn means Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana was originally from Bavel, and he came to Eretz Yisrael to learn by Rabbi Yochanan, and when Rav Kahana came, he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he was able to answer a lot of questions that they had, and was able to share a lot of Divrei Torah. So from then on, Rav Yochanan calls Rav Kahana Dolchoim, yours from Bavel. Shani Hacha, her of a Kanasal of Sibakuna. In this case, it is a get. Because even though the get is not a complete get, it does accomplish that this woman should never be allowed to marry a kohen. So since the get did accomplish something, if we want to reuse it, it has to be given over again. Says the Gemara, Kasa b'taychai, we learned in the Mishnah that if they wrote into the get an inappropriate wording, like chutz, the Gemara we learned in the previous year, if they wrote the word chutz into the get, that get cannot be used. Rav Safra, Kasva, B'toicha Tanan. It's only a problem if it was written into the get. Says the Gemara, Peshitta. Isn't that what the Mishnah said? Kasva, B'toicha Tanan. Says the Gemara, Ma'ad Tema, I would think, Hani Mila Achat Torif. We know that a get contains two parts to it. One is the Taifis, and the other is the Torif. The Taifis is the boilerplate language. The Torif are the crucial element. Husband's name, wife's name, date, etc. So says the Gemara, we would think that when is writing in a get a problem? Only when is oral not a problem, let's say it this way, only if you spoke it after the tariff was written. But if you spoke something inappropriate, you made an inappropriate stipulation before the tariff was written, even orally it should be a problem. But if it was said, I feel out before the tariff was written, and the soifer who's writing the get was writing it with that improper intent, there, I feel our pen not be possible. Even our pet should be possible. Kamash Malon, it doesn't make a difference. V'ravama, loy shano, we only learned this el achat tayrif. Only el achat tayrif is there a kula. There's a difference between if it's written or spoken. Av lifnei tayrif, if it's before the tayrif, I feel our pen not be possible. Even if the cipher got the instructions before he wrote the tayrif, improper instructions, we assume, says Rava, that he's writing the get based on these improper instructions, and the get is possible. Vaz Rava Tamei, and Rava is following his opinion. Damalu Rava Lahanu the Kasvi Giti. Rava would tell these people that wrote the getin, Shisuki Shisuki Labal. Make sure that the husband doesn't say anything. Add the Ksivla the Tarif to Gita until the Tarif is written. And the Rishonim explain what Rava was saying. Because why can't he make conditions? We've been learning this whole Masechta about Tanai and Aget. We're going to be learning in the coming Dafim still about it. So Rishonim say the following explanation. Everybody agrees, besides Rabbi Lezer, the Chachamim hold, that if somebody writes a get and says chutz, that the get's not a good get. And as Rava says, that din doesn't apply only if it was written into the get, but even if it was expressed orally to the cipher, the get is not a good get. And I saw the Rishonim say, it's in the same category like a get that was written Shaloi Lishma. We began the Masechta learning that a get that was written Shaloi Lishma is inherently possible. Here too, a get that even was, that the cipher got improper instructions is inherently invalid. Says Rava, since it's easy to confuse a condition, which is a valid condition, a tanai, an almanas, with a situation of chutz, Chazal said that no condition should be made before the tarif is written. And that's what he was telling the seferim, don't let the husband say anything. Chutz is certainly asur, and then Chazal expanded the gzeira that not only chutz should not be said before the get was written, but even almanas, even another tanai, should not be said before the get was written. Even though we're learning that if the get was written with this improper tanai, you can't erase the get to fix it, the Paiskim do discuss, but if something else was written improperly in a get, that doesn't permanently disqualify the get. What the Paiskim say is you could erase it, but you should be Mekayim, like you would initial a contract nowadays, you should be Mekayim, bring to Adam saying that this erasure was done intentionally. Although I did see Paiskim that say that thing would not apply if his name or her name were written wrong. Since, as we learned earlier, his and her name is the most essential element of the get, there, if their names are written wrong, even if they want to erase it and correct it, that get remains permanently possible.